This is Richard Hudson here.
And Steve Levine. Hi, everybody. Hey. Great to be back.
Hey, welcome to our next edition of
Compliance and Cocktails here at Ignite's World Headquarters in downtown Fort Worth.
We're happy you're listening. We're excited for today's show. We've got a lot to talk about here, but we're going to start with what we like to talk about at the end of every year, which is
Drinks or lack thereof. I want to make it very clear. We're doing this during work hours, so we're trying something different. We are not having any drinks today. So if we seem a little bit off, a little bit uncertain, it is because we are not enjoying our usual Captain Morgan's and Diet Coke. So with that being said, yes, we got Thanksgiving approaching next week. Christmas will be upon us right after that. So we think it's a really good time to kind of do a recap of the year and talk about what you've done and what you haven't done when it comes to compliance. How about you, Richard? What have you done?
Well, when I'm trying to think about something as big as a year, you know, number one, hopefully I've been looking back every month, right? Every week or every month at the very least. But I kind of have to organize it. That's the first step when I'm trying to look at in a compliance program. I have to step back and say, what are my categories? And I'm going to ask myself these questions in first. Because you're not going to remember 16 different things. But if you sit down and create a list, right, you won't get lost. So let's just start building that list. Service and collections comes to mind immediately. Sales comes to mind immediately with underwriting requirements.
Yep, advertising.
Credit reporting.
Yep, credit reporting is always a big one. Yep. Oh, you know, gosh, what have you done to train your team?
Training's huge. I mean, you could take this list and just go down each section and say, did we conduct training on this? Did we conduct training on this? Another thing, policy and procedure reviews, at least annually if nothing in the business has changed, and more frequently if something changes, right?
So right there, you've got a pretty important list, and you need to be asking yourself, what have we done this year when it comes to this? And I'll give you an example. I just got off the phone with somebody. I spoke to this person back in March, and they committed to send a couple of deal jackets over. They wanted a document review. And then I didn't hear from them, so I reached out about a month later, and then I reached out again, and they went dead for a while, and then he emailed me back and said, well, you know, it's the summer, let me get through vacations and stuff, and then it was back to school. And so here we are the week before Thanksgiving, and he's finally reaching out. The only reason he's reaching out is because he was reading an article about how a dealer in his area just got tagged in a lawsuit that's going to cost tens of thousands of dollars to defend, and at the end of the day they're going to wind up being liable. So that got him finding religion, and he wants to send that in. And what we talked about is, okay, that's great, but now you've got 8 more months of risk out there because you didn't do it when you should have, when you first said you were going to. And that happens with compliance topics all the time.
Yep. And, you know, we get calls every week, and, you know, and fine, people do sometimes encounter issues where, you know, something comes up that they didn't anticipate, but that could have been prevented. And what we're talking about with this doing a year-end recap and planning is to get out in front of those, because those are the conversations that, I don't know about you, Steve, but they kind of make my stomach drop when I pick up the phone and it's, you know, someone I've been, you know, trying to reach out to and, you know, see if they need some help with their compliance. And I'm excited at first, hey, great, they're calling me, and I pick up the phone and they're like, I have a problem.
Yep.
Right. And this problem's been going on for 6 months. It's something, you know, that could have been solved probably in an hour or two of training and consultation with this customer. And now they're dealing with an attorney general. This is a real call that I had.
And this happens, and this just doesn't happen to non-clients. This happens to some of our clients. They have good intentions. They want to work with us, but things get kind of pushed to the bottom. Business emergencies always seem to take priority, and then you push the compliance because, oh, we can wait on that. Yeah, we can wait on that. And then you wait on it until you've got a, you know, burning crisis, and then it becomes the number one thing. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and instead of being able to plan, like what we're talking about doing now. Now you've got an emergency.
Yeah,
now
the you're reactionary.
That you, yeah, now that you have this emergency, the things that you did plan, you're going to have to push back off, or just work double time for a while.
So the question you guys need to ask yourself is, what have I done in compliance this year? Have I made progress? Have I put forth the effort that when I went to the office that first day in January and I was all pepping my step for the new year, did I follow through on those promises and do the things that I intended to do?
And this sounds like simple, common sense advice, but make yourself do that, guys. Folks that are listening, sit down at the beginning, make this plan. It doesn't have to be complicated. Make it a checklist. I put things in my calendar sometimes months ahead of time. You know, I'll go in and say, look, here's what I need to achieve over a period of time. And what happens? Same stuff happens to everybody. You get down with the day-to-day and the big plans that you had get pushed off because they seem so distant.
So,
right?
So one of the things that I do, I may have something on my calendar for a particular day and things come up, phone calls jump in, and it gets pushed. I always make sure I move it on my calendar to the next day or the next week. I don't just hope I'm going to remember. I actually plan for it. Now we got some good news for you folks, because the first webinar that we do every year, and we have our free webinar series. It's the third Tuesday of every month.
Except for December. December is going to be on the 7th.
Right. But in January, our first webinar, we're going to talk about your planning for the year when it comes to compliance. We're going to give you the blueprint to success. And we do this every year. And then we ask folks this time of year to go back and think, well, how close did you get to that goal? So help is on the way.
So if you're not getting that right notification, just email info@ignitecp.com. We'll get you on the list. We send out an email at the beginning of every month, just letting you know what we're going to be talking about on the next webinar with a link to register. Yep. If you've already registered, you get the email notifying you that the event is happening and that you're registered. So send an email to info@ignitecp.com. Get on those free webinars. You don't have to pay for it, number one. You don't even have to be there. Every attendee gets emailed a link to the recorded video, which we think is really, really great because, you know, everybody's busy. Not everyone can take 2 o'clock with the third Tuesday of every month, but you can stop, get the recording and play it whenever you want. So please do that. You can also forward it to your staff, right? If you have other compliance folks or even management folks that are interested in getting some free monthly advice on a different topic every month, get on that mailing list. We'd like to send you out that, and there's an opportunity at every one of those also to ask questions, right? And I know people are surprised we have them, and then we follow up with individual phone calls to the folks that do ask questions.
Oh yeah, they're shocked. They'll submit a question, and Rich or I, usually Rich because he's better at it, will actually pick up the phone and call them and address their question. Talk about great value, not only free training, but free advice. Another thing that I want to mention is you need to be attending and having your staff attend these webinars. It is a demonstrable training strategy. If a regulator asks you, if you have to defend yourself in a lawsuit, what are you doing to educate your personnel? You could show them. We do this every month. We get certificates of attendance.
Yeah, we have certificates, so you can demonstrate that you've been on there. If anyone asks, we maintain lists and logs. We know who was there. We know who logged in. We know who watched the video afterwards. So please get that. It's free. If there's one thing you do that'll be automatic this year, it's to have yourself or your staff sign up for this now. Send the email now. We'll get you on there. And at least you know once a month you're going to get a slide deck that's going to cover one big topic like advertising, collections, credit reporting, etc., where you're going to walk away with a 15 slide checklist essentially of what should you be doing, and then you can go back and just check off the boxes. Am I doing this? Am I not doing this? If you're not doing it, then maybe you should develop a program to do that, reach out for help, etc.
Now, you said something about December 7th, and I want to focus on that for a minute. We usually don't do webinars in December because everybody's distracted with the holidays. But the Federal Trade Commission just amended its safeguard rules. They're not in effect yet. They will be soon. And we decided that it's important enough that we need to address this. So we're gonna have a special December 7th webinar, same time, 2 o'clock Central Time, specifically dedicated to the amended safeguards rule. I think it's kind of fitting that it's on Pearl Harbor Day, because I think some of these changes are gonna Pearl Harbor a lot of people if you're not paying attention and being proactive. So please attend that. It's going to be great information.
Yeah, like a lot of the things we talked about, they can be. I mean, wouldn't it have been great had we had radar, right? we wouldn't have had December 7th. But you know, and so that's your defense, right? Just keeping your eye on the horizon. You know, scanning, being prepared for what's coming. Which means, you know, doing your due diligence today.
So I'll give you a great example of this. This is happening a lot to me the last month. So a year and a half ago, the CFPB announced the debt collection rule. And it's going into effect November 30th. And before everybody freaks out, I'll just tell you that it doesn't apply to first party collectors. So don't panic and drive off the road or whatever. You're good. But this has been announced forever. I'm not kidding. I have probably attended 20 or 30 webinars on various aspects of this new rule. Well, in the last month, I've probably had 15 different conversations with folks. I hear there's a new debt collection rule coming in. What do I have to do? And I'm thinking to myself, now you're asking me? This has been on the table for 18 months. Why are you now only asking me? Luckily, 9 times out of 10, like, well, you don't have to worry about it because it doesn't apply to first party collectors. But there are some folks that have very involved business models where it arguably does apply. And that's been a really unfortunate conversation because, man, talk about being behind and having to play catch up.
So what about that email the other day that I got? Right?
Okay.
I'm looking at credit reporting. Right? And all of a sudden there's a code that I know, a status code that's being retired. And if you know anything about credit reporting and status codes, having a complete status code retire is potentially a pretty big deal, right? It impacts a lot of the other things that could be reported on an account. And in my experience there, you know, hopefully you're working with a software company that knows about the change and is implementing changes to the software to accommodate that. But if you don't know that that's coming, if you haven't gone through training, if you haven't talked through this with a professional, if you're not a member of, you know, of any of the groups online, whether it be Facebook or LinkedIn that deal with credit reporting, data furnishers, other folks like us, right? We're in the industry, and we do that. You wouldn't know about that. And you continue to report this incorrect code until maybe you got some feedback from the bureau. Maybe they would just stop reporting that particular status.
Maybe they'll get a demand letter.
Who knows? And we'll see. But just, you know, so one of the things about doing this recap at the end of the year and looking towards next year and really planning this out is that you know about these things, right? You're talking with other compliance professionals in these groups. You're communicating with them online. You're working with a company like ours, et cetera. But it's stuff that comes up that I'm like, oh, you know, I take it for granted that I knew this was coming for a while. But then I thought, how many people really know this? And how many people do I know that still use that code, you know, monthly? So just a lot of things to think about, a lot of risks there. Kind of off topic, I just wanted to say, I wanted to surprise Steve with a question, something that we didn't really talk about, and I've never asked. So I've known you for what, 12 years?
Time, yeah. 12
years
12
now.
Years.
And I've never asked you, what made you want to be a lawyer?
Boy, what made me want to be a lawyer? That's a great question.
Were you like the accidental tertiary, the accidental lawyer? I mean, was it a real life choice? I mean, did it gradually happen? How did that happen?
Okay, so I all through high school, all through college, I never really thought about it. See, my father was a lawyer, and I didn't want to be the cliche where you go into the family business, and I wasn't planning on it. I really enjoyed political science, and I thought I was going to do something politic based.
Well, what was your dad? What area of law did your dad work in?
He was interesting because he was an accountant first, and then he went to law school. So he did some tax work, and he did a lot of contract work, business type work.
Well, I can see why you didn't want to get in the
law. Yeah, it was really dry. He used to bring me to his office and, you know, have me file stuff and this. I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. But then I did a semester in Washington, D.C. in college, and I didn't enjoy it. Well, I enjoyed the semester. Had a great time. But when I was thinking about profession, I didn't want to do it because I found that everybody had an agenda. It was all about who you know and what you could do for me and what you could do for them. And it was a huge turnoff. So then I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, so what am I going to do? I don't like needles and blood, so I'm not going to go to med school. I'm not great with numbers, so I'm not going to go into accounting. So it was almost like a default that I'm like, well, let me go to law school and I'll learn some things, and I could do that in business. It could certainly benefit me in a lot of ways. And then I went, and then, you know, once you kind of get immersed in it, your path is kind of chosen for you. So that's my law school story.
Wow. Wow.
And interestingly enough, I wrote an article recently about ability to repay. I think it's a really good article. It's going to be published a couple of different places. So just Google my name and ability to repay. But in the article, I'm thinking back to when I was a baby lawyer. The big thing with banking at that time, and I clerked for a firm that did banking law, and it was about lender.
Was that in New York?
No, it was in Texas.
It was in Texas.
I went to SMU in Texas. And the big thing that we defended a lot of was called lender liability cases, where basically the company can't pay back the loan, and its defense is, well, you shouldn't have loaned us money in the first place. I'm not being facetious. That's really the nuts and bolts of the claim. And as we talk about ability to repay issues in our business and how a lot of folks in the government are now kind of focusing on, well, are companies being predatory? Does the consumer really have the ability to repay? I thought back to those kind of cases, and I'm like, man, so the whole time I'm clerking at that firm, I'm thinking I want to be a banking lawyer, and then that firm went under during the financial crisis, and I kind of wandered around.
Which one? 99, 2000?
89.
89, wow.
Yeah, 89 was the tail end of it. And so I'm wandering around wondering what I'm going to be doing, and here I am 30 years later writing basically about lender liability. So it kind of came full circle. So that was kind of neat. So what do you want to talk about next? Gosh.
Well, now you know, everyone. So, and I know too. Well, I don't know. We just want to make sure that we talked about the recap, and it needs to be a project. You want help with it. Everyone's got our number. You have our email. We've talked about it. info@ignitecp.com. Just send us a message if you'd like to talk. You know, just a free consultation. We'll be happy to talk with you. You know, again, just send an email. We'll get something on the calendar for you. I know we have a couple of things, you know.
But before we get some, it doesn't have to be like you're going to confession. This isn't forgive me, Father, I have sinned. It's okay. You could talk about your failings. You could talk about how you push things aside. And we're not going to ridicule you. We're not going to throw things at you. We're just going to talk about, okay, how do we get you back on track now? So with that being said.
Well, we're in your corner, right? I mean, that's been our theme this year, 2021, and the theme is not going to change. The principle is not going to change. We're your advocate, no matter what's going on. We're here to help, not judge. So feel free to reach out. I know if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably really engaged. If you're new to this podcast, you know, and you're not familiar with our webinars. Please sign up for the webinars. They're free. They're very informative. We love to have as many people asking questions every month. Go ahead, Steve. You got
to. It just occurred to me, we haven't talked about the Compliance Unleashed conference yet, and we have Compliance Unleashed.
I was getting
Unleashed.
To that. You jumped out ahead.
Go right ahead.
This is what happens when we don't have a formal agenda, right, Steve?
This is what happens when we don't have drinks.
Yeah, everything seems to get a little more fluid. We do have our Compliance Unleashed 2022 conference, not around the corner yet, still a few months off, but we have begun preparations. We have an agenda reveal.
Yes, right? We're going to have an agenda reveal announcement in December. We are working on the agenda now.
And that's in May, right?
Yeah, it's May 16th to 18th. I mean, I'm not kidding. If you want to get folks trained on auto finance compliance, this is the place to go to. It is hardcore. It is a day and a half of great classes and then a half day workshop. So pencil that in or put it down in pen, even better, because you really don't want to miss it.
Yeah, and hands-on workshop is like, every session is like a class, but a hands-on workshop is fully interactive. There'll be handouts, there'll be scenarios. We'll talk through scenarios. What would you do in this scenario? And we're going to have them on four or five different topics that we haven't nailed down, but just expect things like advertising, underwriting,
collections.
Credit reporting, collections. Yeah. And so something from one of those big buckets that we really feel like everyone's going to benefit from. So we're excited to actually hold, compliance school. And that's that. And if you haven't been to one, talk to someone who has. Reach out in one of your auto groups or one of your finance company groups on Facebook or LinkedIn and just ask for those. I'm sure we would get glowing reviews. Everyone's very, very happy. And it's not only informative, it's not only communicating actionable information, but it's one hell of a good time too.
Yeah, we know how to throw a party too.
Yeah.
So plan on May DFW, May 16th to 18th. Look forward to seeing you there. Now we've got some other big news. Richard, do you want to talk about the big news?
I will start the big news. Again, that's our conference.
We're not expecting, don't worry.
Yeah, no. Except for ideas. We have ideas, there are children. We run with them, we raise them, we make them better. But the other news is a conference that's coming up in April.
It's a summit.
It is a summit.
It is a summit. It is called the BHPH United Summit. And we are really psyched to be one of the founding members of BHPH United.
Yeah, and as the name says, Buy Here, Pay Here United, or BHPH United, is a group of companies that have come together. I would say, kind of the best of class, best of breed, companies that have come together to focus a conference strictly on BHPH businesses out there, right?
And education, because a lot of us have worked together and we all recognize the importance of BHPH education, and so we have come together and we're all collaborating on this. This is a very collaborative effort among some of the best companies out there. There's not going to be a exhibit hall. There's not going to be selling. It is going to be 2 days of cram-packed education, pretty much along the lines of what we just talked about with Compliance Unleashed, but this is all aspects of Buy Here, Pay Here.
Leadership, staffing, sales management, vendor management, inventory, collections, marketing, advertising. So we'll be there. We'll have some sessions on compliance, but it will cover every area of your Buy Here, Pay Here business.
I think folks are going to be blown away with the thoughtfulness and the approach to this. It is going to be the type of event that we anticipate dealers are going to want to come to year after year, because it is just completely dedicated to education and some of the best minds in the business, and we were flattered to be asked to participate. So we're really excited about that.
And it's going to be what, April 10th to the 12th, Sunday to Tuesday?
At the Bellagio in Vegas.
In Vegas. So I know I haven't been to Vegas in a while due to a lot of the COVID interruption there. We've traveled different places, not to Vegas, so this may be, I think it will be my first opportunity back there, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it has been a couple of years, and it'll be great to all get back together. So put that on your calendar as well.
Yeah, again, we're going to have this podcast. We'll have a link here if you're listening. We'll have a link to the website. We'll also have a link to a place on our website where you can get some additional information. If you want, again, just make sure you send your email to info@ignitecp.com. We will make sure that you get on our list so you'll receive all the updates on everything.
Now, we always like to close with something a little humorous or a story. So I'll go first, okay? Because I'm in kind of a spitting match now with this law firm. The law firm sent our client a letter basically saying, hey, our client is disputing the information you're reporting, and you need to give us all this information about the account and prove that, that it's valid. To which we talked to our client, and we're like, okay, did they give you any sort of authorization? Did they prove that the customer has authorized them to act on their behalf? And first the answer was no. So client wrote back that letter saying you need to give us client authorization to have this conversation with you. So then the law firm sends back a one-page printed out letter, and it doesn't have the customer's signature. The law firm uses an online process, I guess. So instead of a signature, there's basically a typed out name of the customer, and they're trying to say that that's the authorization. To which I've said, we don't know what this is. We don't know what your process is for capturing this. We don't know whether it's been e-signed or not. We'd really like some more information. So we place a lot of priority on integrity of customer information and keeping it private. And we're just like looking at each other in this stare down, and I almost laugh. I mean, it's like banging your head against the wall, and they won't budge, and now they won't return my calls. And it's just kind of humorous. It kind of shows how ridiculous issues like this could get sometimes. You know, just authorize us to call the customer and verify that the customer gave them authorization, or give us something.
This came up, and I'll make this comment on Steve's, and I've got my little war story of the week. But this came up in our webinar last week. This week. It came up in our webinar on credit reporting. So if you were there, you heard me talk about be careful about getting these letters and then sending out information about customers, about contracts or credit relationships that they had with you. Be careful about that. I've seen just be willy-nilly send it out based on someone typing in someone's name, right?
In my experience, the law firms respect the fact that you're being so careful with your customers' information. Yep. But in this case, they think like we're trying to play games or something. It's just really interesting.
And if you explain that to the average consumer and say, look, I was trying to protect your privacy, your information, you know, we take it very seriously. And most people really respect that. Most people don't want that.
So what's yours?
Well, okay, so this is a little personal, but and I started the story with Steve earlier. But I got to handle my first FDCPA letter.
Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, for those of you not versed.
That was addressed to me. I mean, it was a debt that someone was trying to collect on me, and I haven't had a missed payment
in
20 years. Yeah, my credit report says otherwise. So, but I haven't had one. So I got this letter, and it's an anesthesia thing that went to some collections, and I have regular the bill anyway. So it's really, really funny. So needless to say, my response was rather thorough to them.
Feel so bad for these people.
But I don't think I'm going to hear back from them. We'll see what that response is, because I have their documentation and everything. But you know, and it's kind of like they just sent you a bill, and it says you know, the name of the company, what's it for, billing. You know, and it's you know, hundreds of dollars over what the original bill was, and I have the receipt. I'm not even going to get into that with them.
So the great thing is, they would be covered under the new CFPB rule. And I bet they're not going to do it right. So when they start calling you, put them on the phone with me.
Oh boy,
this will be so much fun.
I parsed every sentence of that letter, but it was done improperly. It was a small debt collections company in Tennessee. They're the mid-size, got about 60 employees, not one of the billion-dollar companies. And I could give them some tips on those letters. So, and I can give you some tips on those response letters as well, if you ever wanted to talk about your disputes. And most of you are first party creditors, so you're responding to FCRA disputes, but I can respond to both. And if you'd like to talk about that, just again, send an email over, we'll be happy to talk to you.
So with that being said, we are going to sign off for now. Hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hopefully we'll do a webinar before Christmas, but if not, happy holidays, and we will see you down the road.
Yep, everyone, we look forward to seeing you on the December 7th webinar. And definitely, definitely make it your action item to register for the January. In fact, we made it so easy for you. You only have to register once. Every time, if you're registered for that webinar, you're automatically registered for the next, for all the webinars for the rest of the year. You never have to do it again. You can never show up again, and you'll get an email with a link once it's done every month saying, here's the webinar you missed. We're sorry you missed, but we would really like you to watch this and learn something. So with that being said,
it is your compliance playbook for the year, so make sure that you attend. Have a good night, everybody. Again, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Steve Rich out.